Hi, you're listening to Talking About Organizations, supplement to episode 2, for which we read chapter 4 of General and Industrial Management by Henri Fayol. My name is Dimitris, coming to you from Birmingham in the United Kingdom. In this supplement, I'm going to give a summary of the reading and talk a bit about the author. So, Henri Fayol is quite a significant figure in the formation of management as a theory, in that he developed a number of principles that still serve as a foundation for management theory today. The chapter that we read is an outline of these principles, of which there are 14, and yes, we're going to go through each one of them. But first, I want to give a bit of background on the author. So Fayol started out as a mining engineer in France, following in the footsteps of his father. He really started to make a name for himself between 1860 and 1866, when he made notable advances in firefighting techniques for underground coal mines. His efforts were rewarded as he was promoted to a managerial position at the age of 25. At that time, the company he was working for was in dire financial straits, and Fayol was charged with revitalizing its operations. To do so, Fayol enacted a series of organizational changes and restructurings, sold off inefficient assets, and invested in research and development. In doing so, he realized that managing a geographically dispersed company with 10,000 employees required skills other than the engineering skills that he was trained in. It is at this point that under the beautiful French skies, a coal-covered Henri began thinking about management and how he could improve it. Fayol noted that managerial ability was essential for organizational success. If it was important, he wondered, how is it that schools and universities neglected management training and focused exclusively on teaching technical skills? He concluded that this was due to absence of management theory at the time. Fayol understood theory as a collection of principles, rules, methods, and procedures tried and checked by general experience. And experience he had plenty. Drawing on his tenure as a general manager for the coal mining company, Fayol stated that every firm requires management. Be it a case of commerce, industry, politics, religion, war, or philanthropy, in every concern there is a management function to be performed, he said. Management required special study apart from technical matters and could be taught in schools and universities as theory developed and codified. According to Fayol, managerial ability depended on certain qualities and knowledge. For instance, there were physical qualities like health, vigor, and manners, mental qualities such as ability to understand and learn, judge, and adapt to uncertain circumstances, moral qualities such as energy, firmness, willingness to accept responsibility, initiative, loyalty, tact, and dignity. There was general education and specialist knowledge, all supplemented by experience. Fayol even diagrammed what he believed to be the relative importance of technical and managerial abilities for employees with different levels of authority. At the core of it, he concluded that technical ability was most important at the worker level, but as you moved up the organizational hierarchy, relative importance of managerial ability increased while the need for technical ability decreased. Fayol was not ignorant to relative firm sizes, and he noted that managers of small firms need relatively more technical ability than managers of larger firms. Think of modern-day entrepreneurs, who, while running their own companies, still need a large degree of technical knowledge in the products they're developing. In summary, Fayol contended that all employees, from foremen to work superintendents, should receive some managerial training. This managerial training was to be based on specific principles. Fayol was careful to explain that principles should not be understood as rules and that allowances must be made for different and changing circumstances. It is the chapter we read that summarizes these principles, all 14 of them. They include division of work, authority, discipline, unity of command, unity of direction, subordination of individual interests to general interests, remuneration, centralization, line of authority, order, equity, stability of tenure of personnel, initiative, and, possibly his most famous one, esprit de corps. Now I'm going to briefly outline each of these principles, which will form the summary of the chapter that we read. So division of work is a well-known idea of assigning separate tasks to individual specialists with the intent of producing better work. If you have listened to episode 1 on Frederick Winslow Taylor, you will be familiar with this principle. For Taylor, division of work meant primarily division of tasks. However, for Fayol, The benefits derived from dividing work into tasks needed to be balanced against obvious disadvantages such as boredom and monotony. This is evident in the statement that he made, "Division of work has its limits, which experience and a sense of proportion teach us may not be exceeded." The second principle, authority, was defined as the right to give orders and the power to exact obedience. Now, Fayol distinguishes between formal authority of managers granted by the office and personal authority, which was compounded of intelligence, experience, moral worth, ability to lead, past services, and so on. He recognized that savvy managers complemented their official authority with personal authority, and further realized that authority and responsibility are complementaries in the sense that whenever authority is exercised, responsibility arises. Or, in a famous phrase, with great power comes great responsibility. The third principle, discipline, essentially referred to respect and obedience between a firm and its employees. In its essence, Fayol's understanding of discipline is very similar to what we nowadays understand by a different word, organization. The fourth principle, unity of command, was expressed as, for any action whatsoever, an employee should receive orders from one superior only. For Fayol, dual command was a threat to authority, discipline, and stability. His rationale for this was clear. If an employee receives conflicting orders from two different superiors, this would certainly result in conflict, misunderstanding, stress, and, as he puts it, pure awkwardness. It is for this reason that the next principle is unity of direction, which basically means that everyone goes towards the same goals. Fayol writes, one head and one plan for a group of activities having the same objectives. Unity of direction comes from a sound organizational structure and is essential to unity of action. In other words, everyone must know what the company is doing and what their role is in pursuing that objective. In that regard, individual interests needed to be subordinated to the general interest of the organization, which is the next principle. Fayol wanted to abolish ignorance, ambition, selfishness, laziness, weakness, and all human passions. This is because placing individuals' or groups' interest over a firm's general welfare would inevitably lead to conflict among participating parties. Fayol recognized that individuals or groups who serve only themselves are harmful to the interest of their fellow employees and the interest of the firm in general. Again, note similarities between Fayol and Taylor in this regard. And speaking of similarities, here's another one, remuneration. Fayol also believed that while there should not be excessive overpayment, successful performance should be rewarded aptly. Centralization was an important principle that had to do with control and communication. Fayol recognized that in large organizations, managers can be far away from employees and, when there was no email and phones were hard to come by, transmission of information could be distorted as it passed through different individuals. Fayol's solution was that the degree of centralization must vary according to different cases, from larger firms to smaller, and, as with many of his principles, that this is a question of appropriate proportion. The ninth principle, line of authority or scalar chain, is basically organizational hierarchy. It starts with the president of the company and proceeds to work manager, superintendent, department head, supervisor, foreman, and worker. Each of these would then be replicated to a particular mode of production and thus form a large, inadvertently bureaucratized organization. And as we know, bureaucracy needs order, which is the next principle. By order, Fayol basically meant a place for everything and everything in its place. This applied not only to objects, but also to people, the right man in the right place. The objective of material order was to avoid wasting resources, and the objective of social order was necessary to balance firm's human requirements with its available resources. Again, drawing on his work experience, Fayol recognized that order cannot be maintained in a situation where there is inequality. Taylor believed the same thing, and he wrote as much in the work we discussed in episode 1. The 12th principle, stability of tenure of personnel, sought to provide job security for the employees. This was because Fayol recognized that it took time for a manager and a group of employees to develop into a high-performing unit. In particular, this was because managers needed to take the time to get to know their employees and inspire their confidence, and from his experience, Fayol knew that this could be a lengthy matter. But it was worth pursuing, as confident employees would express initiative, which is the next principle. Fayol observed that thinking out a plan and ensuring its success is one of the most powerful stimulants of human endeavor, and this is what is called initiative. In other words, this was freedom to produce and execute. The initiative of all added to that of the manager, and supplementing it represents a great source of strength for business. Could it be that Fayol is talking about knowledge workers? Maybe. Finally, Esprit de Corps stressed building harmony and unity within a firm. These days, we understand this as culture management. But back then, Fayol understood it as real talent is needed to coordinate effort, encourage keenness, use each man's abilities, and reward each one's merit without arousing jealousies and disturbing harmonious relations. Quoting the proverb, union is strength, Fayol advised, dividing enemy forces to weaken them is clever, but dividing one's own team is a grave sin against the business. So these are the 14 principles that Fayol outlined in General and Industrial Management, Chapter 4. As you may well have observed, these are not uncommon to modern-day organizing and work. Things like culture and equity, for instance, are in high demand in the modern workplace. Now, you've noticed that I mentioned our previous reading, Frederick Winslow Taylor, a couple of times during the outline of these principles. Before I conclude this supplement, I just wanted to say a few words about what is the difference between the two authors. Well, for one, Taylor was concerned with optimizing the process of production on the operational level, meaning how to best utilize equipment and machines. Fayol, on the other hand, had experience of general management. He was a CEO of a major corporation employing 10,000 people, so his perspective was different. Fayol was thinking more strategically. He understood the value of people in a way that Taylor never did. He made a clear distinction between operational activities and managerial activities, clearly specified the functions of management by a systematic analysis of management process, and firmly advocated that management should be formally taught as a separate discipline to engineering. I hope you found this supplement useful, understanding Henri Fayol's work better. And I hope to see you next week, as the four of us convene to discuss the 14 principles of general and industrial management.